Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see all of you here this morning. We're glad that you've come to worship with us. Good to see Ryan here this morning. I'm sorry, Rob. I'm messed up anyway. Ryan, yeah. Well, Rob's here too. See, I got you both. Hey, it's good to see the whole family. How's that? Start off good like that. We are glad you're here. And we did a lot of praying for you and it worked, didn't it? Praise the Lord for that. Got some other neat folks back here, huh? I got the whole DeLon family, pretty much. We're glad you're here. And everybody else, we're glad you're here, too. Hey, there's a lot going on. Look through your bulletin to see what all's taking place. Next week, there'll be a special business meeting. We're going to decide what we're going to do with the harvest offering. If you have suggestions, you could get that to Conrad or to Linda. If you give it to one of those, it's pretty safe. Give it to me, who knows? So just see if you could get it to them, okay? We talked about David and staying with the Johnsons. He did find a home. He's going to be staying with the Pifers for the rest of the year, and so he's close, and he'll be able to continue Crusaders, and we praise the Lord for that. And so we're just glad that he's staying in the area. Let's see. You can see all the other things that are going on. You notice on 17th it says a scavenger hunt for adults. That's going to be a nifty activity. It's not like any other scavenger hunt you've ever been on. You don't have to do anything stupid. You don't have to ask any people for anything. And I'm telling you that because it's just a lot of fun, and it's best if you work in couples, like four together, okay? That just makes it more fun. So you might be thinking, who would I like to spend a couple hours with? And plan to do that. We'll have a sign-up sheet next week and all that. You can get in on it. We are accustomed to prayer. And prayer is a very powerful and effective thing. And we know that it works. And you put Joyce Calloway on your prayer list tomorrow morning at about 7:30. She'll be down at IU Medical Center, and they are going to do quite an extensive surgery on one of her ears. They're going to put what's called a cochlear, am I saying that right? Cochlear implant into her middle ear, and then that heals, and there is a small device that will allow her to hear. But it's quite a huge process, and they've been getting ready for this for months. And so you put her on your prayer list and pray for her. Everything's going to go just fine. There is a sign-up list on the bulletin board. You know, if one of us is down, you hear a knock on the door, and it's Dale and Joyce, and they're there to minister to you. So we now have the opportunity to minister to them. Would you look on the bulletin board? There's a place we're going to provide their supper for them till next Saturday. We are going to do that, okay? And listen, it's just them, and they've asked that you don't bring in a banquet. Just bring for two, and so it's not going to be a lot. Dale has said that if two or three of you repeatedly want to bring a wiener casserole, that's fine. If you just want to bring hot dogs, bring the warm, slimy juices, and he will be just as happy as anybody can be. So you sign up and take care of that, and they'll be blessed, and you'll be blessed for doing it. We're glad you've come this morning, and we've come to meet the Lord, to worship him. So let's bow in prayer now and ask him to minister to us. We had a great celebration Wednesday at the remembering and just sharing in the life of Josephine Robinson. What a great lady she was. And continue to remember the prayer, the family in prayer, please. It's a time of adjustment, but wow, what a time of celebration. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we give you the thanks and the honor and the glory that is yours as the Lord God Almighty, the creator and sustainer of all that is. Thank you for all your blessings and your provision. Thank you, Father, for the way you have worked in our lives in this past week. Thank you for our salvation in Christ. And we pray in this hour that we might be drawn closer to you because we are subject to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We pray that you and you alone will be the authority, you will be sovereign, that you will direct our thoughts, the motives and intents of our heart to listen solely to what the Spirit has for us this morning. Thank you for the blessing of financial security, for all that you have brought to us, and for the privilege of sharing our tithes and offerings this morning. We give them with a cheerful heart in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his sake. Amen.
Today's scripture reading comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through 16. Could everybody please stand for the reading of the word? We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. But who has known the mind of the Lord, for that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. May God add his blessing to the reading word.
Our Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege of coming before the throne of grace, and thank you for telling us that because of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can come to you boldly and not fear that you will ridicule us or turn us away, but that you will give to us liberally and not scold us or upbraid us. Thank you, Father, for the forgiveness that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thank you for the way you answer prayer in our daily lives. Father, in these past days, we have sinned before you, and we ask forgiveness for those wrong thoughts or wrong words or wrong attitudes. We thank you for the forgiveness of the eternal condemnation of our sin. And we thank you that you are a God who understands. You are a God who has been tempted in every way like as we, yet you were without sin. Thank you for knowing exactly how to minister to us, to make us stronger, to make us wiser. And thank you for loving us so much that you were so careful and took time in giving us your inspired and inerrant and infallible word. And thank you, Father, for being the authority to which we can turn and know of a certainty that we will be given the truth, that we will be guided in the right way. You know those here this morning that are carrying heavy burdens, and we pray that you will minister to them in the way you know best. We do again ask you to be with the Robinson family. We thank you for the celebration of Josephine's life and the way she impacted so many people. And we pray that you'll just walk with them through this time of adjustment and give them the strength and encouragement that they need. Father, we ask you to watch over Joyce. We pray that you will give the doctors and the nurses unusual wisdom and clarity of thought. And we would ask that it will be one of the easiest surgeries they have ever performed. And we pray that you will bring 100% success. Thank you for the testimony that we are blessed to receive from both Dale and Joyce. And so we ask for traveling mercies. We pray that you watch over them while they're there. And we ask you to guide them home safely. And we pray that in these next days and weeks, we will find many opportunities to minister to both of these families. Thank you. Father God, we turn now to the preaching of the word. We ask that the Spirit of God be given total freedom, total liberty to teach us, to draw us closer to you, to help us understand. You are so good to us. Thank you for all our blessings. We lift our prayers to you in the eternal, mighty, saving name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. In our scripture passage, Paul is saying, in essence, we have been given a message not from men, but from God. And the message that we're telling you is not understood by everyone. Those who are not spiritual people, those who are not in tune with the Lord, those who do not look at life from a spiritual viewpoint do not understand. But those who love the Lord, those who acknowledge that there is a deeper understanding available, those who do understand that we need to search for it as for buried treasure, they do understand. The Lord works with them and talks with them. We are talking about the doctrine of Scripture. We've talked about the authority, the inerrancy, the infallibility. God made His Word clear to us. Last week we learned that He's designed His Bible in a clear, concise way so that anyone who wants to can understand it. To enjoy, however, the clarity of Scripture, to see and to grasp and to understand its deeper truths, one must in fact meet the demands of Scripture. And as we've mentioned, they are in essence to come at it from a spiritual viewpoint, wanting what God wants and intends His followers to have as He provides it for them. Scripture demands that understanding comes only to a person. Listen, an unsaved person can read the Scripture and understand their need of a Savior. They can understand that they are at odds. They are an enemy of God. They can understand that they are condemned to a Christless hell forever. They can understand that they have broken God's laws. They can understand that the Lord Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to God except through Him. But beyond that, it is a closed book. To all who are believers, God says there is an infinite depth of wealth and information, a resource for learning and understanding that is available to you if you want it. And so that's where this spiritual mindset comes in. We have seen the design so that we can understand it. We have seen some of the demands the Scripture places on us. When we come to those two and we understand, we discover that there is a delight so that we can understand the Bible. One fundamental theologian says the clarity of Scripture means that the Bible is written in such a way that its teachings are able to be understood by all who read it, seeking God's help and being willing to follow it. I think that's a pretty good definition of the clarity of Scripture. And we need to pay attention to that. You see, there are some conditions. I'm so sorry. Does that help? No, that doesn't help at all. I wonder what's going on. Watch that for a minute. No, really. This gets good. There is a delight in reading, and I guess that was the last slide, wasn't it? There is a saying among men, When all else fails, read the directions, right? There was a time when this is what directions look like. Do you remember that? There was a time you didn't have to be afraid of some assembly required. But because men are so highly developed, because we have worked and studied hard, these are what we get now. Right? Huh? Yeah, the guys are saying, uh-huh, that's how it works. Okay? Don't you love it? You get whatever it is home, it says some assembly required. Oh, no big deal. They'll tell me how. Ta-da! And so we start, and what, 3 or 4 weeks later, we hope it looks like that. Huh? Aren't you glad God's not doing His word that way? God is not abridging His word. God still gives us very clear instructions. God wants us to read His Bible and find delight in it. Anyone who's ever been in the service understands what it is to get a letter from home. They are cherished. Every day, the high point of the day for a lot of us guys was mail call. And you'd go to mail call and you'd stand there holding your breath, waiting for him to call your name and hold that letter up. And on those days when that didn't happen, you go away kind of deflated. All right, I'll wait for tomorrow. But until tomorrow comes, you go back to the letters you got before. You read them, and you reread them, and you memorize them, and you let pictures develop in your mind. You hang on every one of those words, don't you? Probably most of us who've been in that situation have those letters tucked away somewhere, don't we? And probably if you'd asked the person back here, they've got letters tucked away too that they got because they were precious. The interesting thing is that nobody who ever wrote a letter like that to a loved one ever sat down and wrote it with the idea the recipient wouldn't read it. You see, when we go to compose a letter like that, and you may have done it too, you go away and you'd get alone somewhere where it's as quiet as it can be. And you begin to write and you choose every word very carefully. Because as much, Paul would say, as much as in you is, you want the person you're writing to feel what you feel. Sometimes you'd try to describe what you see, even what you smell. And you pick every word carefully because you know they're going to read it and you want them to see you. You want them to sort of be there with you through that letter. And when you get the letter, it's the same thing. You just sort of lose yourself in it. You share intimate feelings. Would you write a letter like that if you knew in your heart the person wasn't going to read it? If you knew the recipient was going to take that letter and say, oh, it's from them. Would you spend the same time picking every word, sharing every detail, expressing the desire of your heart so that when they read it, they feel what you feel? Would you just count the seconds and the minutes until they read it if you knew they weren't going to read it? Would you do that? Can I ask you something? Can I tell you something? I want to tell you something. God did. God wrote his book with every feeling and every detail, with every word chosen and put exactly where he wanted it. Every thought that he wanted communicated was communicated in exactly the right order, with exactly the right stuff, knowing that even some of his own blood-bought children would lay it on the shelf and say, no big deal. God spent 1,400 years sharing his letter with us, his book. God wants us to come to him in delight and read the word. God wants us to take it in. Why? It is alive. It is life-changing. It is powerful. It goes clear to the thoughts and motives and intents of the heart. It reaches to our deepest emotions. There is delight in reading the Word of God. When the desire in your heart, in your spirit, is to grow and be like the Christ who died for you and who lives for you, making intercession right now at the right hand of God on your behalf. There is a delight in reading that a lot of people miss because they just don't take the time. I had somebody said, I just feel down because I just haven't had the time I want to read the scriptures. You see, that person tells me that they're in on it, that they understand it, that they get it. Can I ask you something? Do you feel that way? When circumstances, for whatever reason, keep you from reading the word, do you miss that as much as you miss fellowship and communication with a dear loved one? Or is it, yeah, that's the way it is. That's life. You see, you're missing the delight. Open the book and read it. And if you read it, God will speak to you. Now, watch. There is not only a delight in reading it, there is a delight in requesting God's help. There is a delight in requesting God's help. I'm going to go right in my Bible, a few books, and I'm going to go to Hebrews. And I'm going to look at chapter 11, the great faith chapter. Probably don't even need to turn there if you don't want to, because you got the verse memorized. It says this. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Okay? But that's not the end. It says, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. A person doesn't just have to believe that he exists. They have to seek him. Now, you and I don't have any problem with the believing he exists part, right? Done deal. He exists. We accept that. It's reality. It's the way it is. It's that earnestly or diligently seek him part that causes us problems. Partially, partially because we live in the culture and society we do that is so anti-God. We've fallen victim not to the anti-God part, but to the casual approach to God part. And we've come to believe that we're kind of an instant society. We look at the scriptures and we glance through them and we get the idea and we say, okay, I got it. That's good enough. And we get bored with it because we have the surface and we say, okay, I understand it. I don't need any more. Can I just share with you this? Mediocrity or less is exactly what Satan wants from us. Satan wants us to believe, I got a general idea. That's all I need. Because he knows if we stay there, we're never going to get to the deeper truths. We're never going to really understand God. And because he has the ability, Satan does, to disguise himself as an angel of light, his message of lies is deceiving even people who call themselves Christians into a life of sin rather than a life of sanctification. Have you ever wondered what does diligently or earnestly mean? When we read the word seeking God's help, he delights in explaining it to us. Now, I've given you a lot of verses on your outline. Those are not all of them. Those are a start. Here's what you're going to discover. As you look through those and as you read them, what you're going to learn is that God creates a desire in our heart to diligently, earnestly seek him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. In other words, you're going to delightfully discover, God says, work for it. Search for it. To those who want to know God with all, reading results in learning. When you learn something, if you're like me, you say, hey, that's pretty cool. I didn't know that. That's pretty neat. And it's like a little salt in the oats. Learning then results in wanting to learn more. And wanting to learn more generally results in that diligent, earnest seeking and study until the heart is satisfied with the fullness of God himself. Make sense? If that sounds foreign to you, try it. Get in there, and if you're not reading, where am I going to tell you to start? Proverbs. Good. If you're reading somewhere, listen to what you're reading. Read it out loud, and then stop and look at it. Is there anything in here that I ought to pay more attention to? What can I get out of this today? Something will come up. And then you start in your chain reference and you say, where else does this appear? And before you know it, in today's terms, it sucked you in. And all of a sudden, you're having fun. It is delightful to learn that God fills us with blessing. And until you see the need of seeking God diligently, you just get the surface. You just kind of get the peanut butter and jelly. If you want the filet mignon, you have to go a little deeper. Do you have any idea why I keep harping on you to tell you to learn diligently, to seek God diligently? And you say, well, duh, the Bible tells us to do that. That's what you're saying. Yes, but if somebody said to you, What is the reason you spend so much time in Scripture? What is the reason? Now, let me ask you something. How would you answer a non-believer? Somebody with no spiritual background. There's a kind of an easy way God figured that question would come up. So he gave us an answer. You're in Hebrews. Go back left, a couple of books, and you're going to come to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Look in chapter 2. You know the verse I'm going to tell you, don't you? Probably around verse 15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Would you like to see how Paul wrote that? That's sort of what it looks like. If you opened it and read it in Greek, it would say, be eager yourself approved to present to God, a workman unashamed, cutting straight the word of truth. Aren't you glad they fixed it so we could read it? To make life more exciting, when you read Greek, there are absolutely no punctuation marks. So if you think that opening verse in Ephesians 1 is something, what you need to understand is that whole letter is one sentence, as are all of Paul's, as is all of the New Testament. That term, cutting straight, is an agricultural word, and it means to plow a straight furrow. I think it was very clever of Paul to use that analogy. When I was a kid, and my grandfather was teaching me to drive a tractor, he said, it's important that you cut a straight furrow, or drive straight, plow straight. And he said, the way you do that is pick something on the horizon or down to the other end of the field, right? And drive towards it. I wish he'd have told me, don't pick a cow. So, you see, that's not all bad, is it? Are you eager for yourself? Are you eager about you to be approved for the purpose of being presented to God as a workman who has cut a straight furrow? It really makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Because you see, when you begin to look at that, the idea to be approved, the idea to be eager to be approved, the idea of being a workman cutting a straight furrow is to be approved by God. That's the point. So you see, when you and I come to read, and it says, do the best that you can, it's kind of that same word, diligently, earnestly, be earnest, put effort into it. And so if you take all that away, what are you putting effort into? Being approved by God. Can I ask you something this morning? Can I ask you something? If you took your whole life, every part about it, and you wrote over the top, to be approved by God, is that your outlook? to be approved by God. The hard work, the little details, the tediousness all come into play. Let me ask you something. Probably everybody in here right now has done or made something for a loved one that you wanted to give to them at some time. And during the entire project, you start and you have a grand idea of what it's supposed to look like, don't you? And if you're like me, each process is identified repeatedly with little signs and symbols that I made it. And if you were to look at it, you would say, wonder why he's doing this. He has absolutely no idea what he's doing. And so you work hard not to make mistakes. You work hard to make sure everything goes together exactly the way it should, so that when it's done, you want it perfect, don't you? And in the middle of all that, does that tedium, is that hard work, the frustration of it, you know what I mean. Do you let that cause you to stop? No, that's part of it. You work through that. Why? Because you keep thinking, I want them to have this, and I want it to be nice. So I don't care how hard it is. I don't care how long it takes. I don't care how late I have to stay up. I'm going to finish it. And I want to finish it nicely, so that when I give it to them, I've cut it straight. I am an approved workman. That's what God is thinking about you as his project. And my question to you is that how you think of you as you say, I will take this life and I will make of it something to give back to you? Chrysostom was a historian that lived not all that long after Jesus, alive when some of the apostles were alive. He translates this verse this way. A workman who has no cause for shame when his work is being inspected. So, is that how it works? Let me take Hebrews 4:13 and let's put these two verses together like this. A workman who has no cause for shame when his work is being inspected. Really? Yeah. Nothing is hidden from God's eyes. Nothing. But everything is open and laid bare before the eyes of him who will inspect our work. That's why we diligently, earnestly seek God. When Jesus turned toward Jerusalem, Luke says, he set his face steadfastly toward Jerusalem, and nothing deterred him. Now, I'm going to tell you more about that in April. But what is it that catches your attention that causes that furrow not to be cut so straight? What is it that distracts you? What is it that makes you say, oh, that part's good enough, God will accept that, and besides that, what I don't get done, he'll finish? You see, if that's your attitude, you're missing the entire point. God delights when we come to him and say, help me. Help me. I know where the splinters are. I know where the furrow is crooked. I know where my faults are. And surely, if you are an omniscient, all-knowing, all-seeing, sovereign God, you knew them a long time ago, didn't you? Yes. And then we begin where God is able to change our viewpoint. And we begin to see how nothing and everything leaves us no wiggle room. Any reason that you'd be ashamed with quality, with diligence, with earnestness, if your work were inspected now? If God calls you out of the world today, is your account okay with you to be inspected the way it is? Because this is how it'll be, everything. Now, when we understand this, we find that there is a delight in responding to what God says. Earlier, I think I zipped by this pretty quick. The Bible is written in such a way that its teachings are able to be understood by all, that includes you, who read it, seeking God's help and being willing to follow what God says. Now, listen, this creates another one of those ruts. This is not inspired. This is from a good fundamental theologian. The rub comes when we read words like being willing to follow God's word, and then somebody says, yeah, but you have to do it his way. That creates one of those rubs, doesn't it? Beloved, listen to me. Listen. When God says, seek me with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength, do you think in any situation God would say, give me all, if God knew it was impossible for us to give all? Where's the delight in that? Do you see, that makes God less than a perfectly holy God. It makes him, in fact, evil, because he's saying, do something I know you can't do. Paul caught on to that, and God gave the idea to Paul when he said this, I can do, this is interactive, when I do this, you give me the next word because you know it, I can do all. What part does that leave uncovered? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, we put two verses together a minute ago, didn't we? How do I accomplish that? God tells us. By the way, just a reminder, did you know there isn't anywhere in Scripture, anytime, ever, God tells us, do this, don't do that. Do this, follow this, without telling us how, and oftentimes, why? God always gives us clear instruction when he says, these are my demands. And Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Then if you remember, over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, somewhere around verse 9, he says, I'm not going to boast in anything except being weak in Christ so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. When I get Richard Utterback out of the way and I say, okay, God, you do it your way. And you do it in me and then do it through me. I'm able to do what I think I can't do. And may I suggest to you, you can too. God wrote his scriptures in such a way that there is a delight in responding to what God says. I want to tell you one more thing. And I want you to listen. Because it applies to some of you in here more than others. But it applies to everybody. All of us have something in us that belongs to us yet, don't we? There is some part down deep inside that as much as we know it's wrong, we keep it. And we think we want to give it to God. We even try sometimes, but don't we keep taking it back? And it drives us nuts. Okay? So let me ask you something. How do those people who say, I can't pray, I can't pray, I can't understand scripture, I can't memorize, I can't love that person even though God wants me to love them the way he loves me. I can't agree with them. I can't find pleasure in them. They just rub me the wrong way, and I can't change that. Where people live on those things, and those things are barriers, and they stop them from getting into the clarity of Scripture. The fundamental difference between people who live that and believe those things and those who overcome things, those who understand those are obstacles that take a lot of strength and courage and all of that, they understand you come at life from a spiritual viewpoint if you're a Christian. And can I tell you this? When you get it through your heart and it seeps up into your head that life is to be viewed from the inside out, and God is the sovereign authority, every issue you can think of, every excuse, every whatever you want to call it, automatically becomes a non-issue. And that's the difference. A person who walks with the Lord and says, God is my sovereign leader, no matter what. Here I am. On the altar, all strings cut. Am I a little nervous? Yeah. Could I be a little scared of what God may require? Yes. But it's okay. Let me tell you something. I was talking with a group of pastors about 2 weeks ago. We think, and we hope we're not radicals, we think that if things continue the way they are, the next target will be fundamental churches. And when fundamental churches become the target, guess who they're going to come after first? Does that make me a little nervous? Yep, it does. Is that reality? Yep. My heart beats a little faster when I think of that. Oh, it's so easy to say, no, I'll stand for God. Makes it a little harder when it's like this. And you're on that end. And see, here's the other thing, and I thought this was interesting. They're not as likely to torture or shoot me as they are my loved ones. Ever thought of that? What I want you to understand is, this is life and death, and it's not funny. this church, as long as I stand here, will remain politically neutral. But there are things you can read. There are things you can find on the internet. And if you want the titles, I know somebody that has them. I know somebody to direct you exactly where you need to go. And when you read things people don't want you to read, you will see that the world economy, the world leaders, Wall Street, the American debt, the Chinese power, Iran, the Middle East, and the very dollar. All of that together is moving word for word exactly as God has told us. And may I submit to you this? A lot of you are praying, I hope we wake up next Wednesday and God's man is in the White House, right? Well, let me tell you something. He will be. It may not be the one you're thinking of, but his man will be there. And his man will be there not as a response to any earthly entity. He will be there because God put him there on purpose for a purpose. Now, aren't you glad you're a Christian? Aren't you glad you're saved? Aren't you glad that you lay your head down tonight and every other night knowing that no matter what it's like, you serve a sovereign God who has promised to never leave nor forsake you? And it needs to be our prayer, not just today, but every day, that God will give us whatever we need in our heart to stop our silly playing around and live all. It's right here. It's as clear as a bell. It's as clear as anything you want to see. What will you do with it? It's not too late yet. Father, thank you for the clarity of your word. Thank you for the authority with which it stands and lives. Thank you that in all that we see going on around us, you are in charge. And thank you that you have given us your word that is faithful and truth. Thank you that you have given us in our salvation the ability to see deeply into it. Father, meet with us as individuals and deal with us in such a way that our very heart, the motives and intents of our heart becomes to be eager to be approved by God for cutting a straight path. Please, Father, work in our hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.